जय जय श्री राधे। We're continuing our Bhagavad Gita, describing the Ras Lila of the 10th canto. And we're finishing verse number 3. We've been discussing about Krishna's flute. Shigo kalam vamadrisham manoharam. And the acharyas, they are telling us some very beautiful points that we touched on yesterday. When Krishna played his flute, Chago kalam, Chago Krishna kalam, he played his flute. In that vibration, in that song of Krishna's flute, it was more than music, it was magic. It was more than raga, it was an invitation. It was more than an invitation. It was his heart crying for the gopis, especially Radha. This was the Jago Kalam, the sound of Krishna's flute. And woven in that flute vibration, Kalam, was the Kam Bij mantra, the seed of romantic desire, the Bijam, the seed of amorous love, conjugal delight, desire, love. And when the gopis heard this flute, it affected them. It entered their heart like the calm beach. It had tremendous power and potency. This is the greatest proof and test of Krishna's flute playing. We heard throughout the rainy season, for 4 months, Krishna practiced his flute to become so powerful he could control the seasons and the moon and the animals. And even the gopis one night, he summoned them with his flute and they came. Now the final exam. Will I be able to attract Radha with my Manohara, my Murali Manohar? When I play my Murali, Krishna Murali, Murali Sri Krishna, Murali Vadan. When I play my Murali on that fateful night, that delightful, blissful night of Sharad Purnima, will my Murali, will my Vamshi have so much power and potency that I can draw Radharani to my side? I can awaken her heart, romantic desires for amorous love and dalliance. Will my flute have the power to remove all the shackles and bondages of her Dharma and her attachment to her family and her Laja Dharma and overcome all the obstacles? So then Krishna played his flute and it came out as the Kam Gayatri. When Krishna played his flute, it came out as he played the fifth note. There are different notes on the flute. He played the fifth note on his Murali, especially to call the gopis. This is a very romantic note. It stirs the heart with loving sentiments to be with the dear one. And in that flute sound, Jago Kalam was the kling, kling, the Kam Bij mantra, the seed of desire. This is the effect of Kamdev, the material god of love, the Cupid of this world. He enters everyone's heart and creates desire. Material desire to enjoy man and woman. Kamdev, we say Cupid, the god of lust, the god of romantic love. He makes lovers love each other. He creates attraction and love in the mind of the man, and attraction and love in the mind of the woman. The Krishna, as we established, is the transcendental Kamadev. When he plays his flute, the non-devotee, they run from the sound of Krishna's flute. The non-devotee, the Gnostic, the atheist, they run from Shabda Brahman. Krishna's flute is coming into this world as Om, and Om is manifesting all the Vedas. Pranava sarvavedeshu, Krishna says in Gita. Pranava sarvavedeshu, the flute is the original vibration of Goloka Vrindavan. Then enters here, and it comes as Om. And the Om expands into so many Vedas. And the pranava Omkara, the pranava Omkara of all the Vedas is Krishna. Pranava sarvavedeshu. When people hear Veda Praman or Tattva Siddhanta, which is actually a transformation of Krishna's flute. As Krishna's flute came out as music, sweet ragas, beautiful, soothing melodies to everyone's ears, especially the gopis. But in that flute song of Krishna was more than rag, more than tal and raga and tal and beat and measure and beauty. There was kam bij, the sound of kling, that was mixed in that sound because he was playing the fifth note on his flute, directing it towards the ears of the gopis. And they heard it and they became enchanted. Mano drisham, mano haram. Mano haram, they became enchanted, captivated, compelled and attracted. Their eyes began to dance. Vamadrisham, their hearts began to dance. And then their feet began to dance and they danced out of their homes and ran out to meet Krishna. So the sound of Krishna's flute, which is Shabda Brahman, it's the most beautiful expression, the highest, loving, most beautiful, complete expression of spiritual sound vibration. It's Krishna's Jago Kalam. When it enters this world, it becomes Om. When the gopis hear the sound of Krishna's flute, when they run to Krishna, it creates desire, that Kama Bij and Krishna's flute, Jago Kalam, creates desire to love Krishna, to serve Krishna, to be with Krishna in the most intimate, romantic way, as is conjugal lovers in the rasa dance in Braj Leela. When that same flute appears as the Vedas, so in the Vedas is Krishna's flute, and then Krishna's flute for the devotees and for the gopis is kam, the kam bijam. So when pious religious people read the Vedas, it creates a desire. When someone reads the Vedas, the Shabda Brahman, Krishna's flute transforms into Om. Om enters this universe and transforms into Veda. Pranava Om, Omkara. Pranava Omkara Sarva Vedeshu. Becomes all the Vedas. So when pious religious seekers of truth hear the Vedas with a submissive ear and a faithful heart, it creates transformation in their consciousness. It's coming as Shabda and it's acting as Kambij. As the flute carries the Kambij into the ears of the gopis and creates romantic desire, the Vedas, the transformation of Krishna's Jagokalam, they carry that Kambij into the ears of the conditioned souls and create desire to love Krishna, to run to Krishna, to abandon everything. Sarva dharman prityaja, mam ekam sharanam braja. This is the effect of the flute sound of the Vedas on we conditioned souls. And then eventually, we develop faith by hearing Veda. And then we find Guru and take Diksha. And he gives us Kam Gayatri. He gives us Kam Bij Mantra. It's called Guru Mantra. Guru gives many mantras. Kam Bij. Same mantra that was given to the gopis. Jago Kalam. Akanda Mandalam. Rasa Purnima. And the Sharad Purnima. They receive the same mantra, Diksha, from Krishna's flute. So on Gurudev, he will give the Klim. Klim, Kam Bij in the ear of the Shishya. And he will give the Kam Gayatri. And as the Shishya chants the Kam Bij and the Kam Gayatri, he will hear that original sound. That Kam Gayatri will take him across all the Veda and reveal all the Veda to him. Veda Vidya Prakash. Then that Kam Bijam will take him all the way across that Veda to the sound of Krishna's flute. And in that Kam Gayatri, the Shishya will hear himself directly the sound of Krishna's flute. And his heart will fill with Kam Bij and desire to love and serve Krishna eternally. And he'll run to Krishna and abandon all of his dharmas, varna dharma, and ashram dharma. No obstacles will be too great to overcome. No impediments can stop him or block his way. He'll run to God, soaring on the wings of pure Shraddha and pure Sharanagati, Shud Sharanagati and Shud Shraddha. This is the effect of Veda on the conditioned soul. See the effect on the gopis. Chagokalam Vamadrisham Manoharam. Their man became hara. Their minds became stolen by the sound of Krishna's flute. That's at the highest level, Madhurya Rati, Vraja Madhurya Rati, Parakya Bhav, that wonderful amorous love of Krishna and the gopis. That's the effect of the flute on them, the Nitya Parishad and Sadhana Siddha gopis. What is the effect of Krishna's flute on us? And how do we hear it? And what does it do with us? That's the Veda. Bhagavat Shravan, Shriman Bhagavat Shravan, Bhagavad Gita Shravan. Then when we hear it, we want to run to Krishna, creates desire, fills us with desire to calm or lusty desires and cravings to exploit and enjoy men and women of this world or objects of this world. No. That calm Gayatri, that calm Bijam in the Veda, revealed in Veda, Narada Pancharatra describes calm Gayatri and other Pancharatrika literatures. When one chants that, it creates spiritual desires of selflessness, not selfishness, love, not lust, detachment, not attachment. When the material kamadev strikes our hearts with the arrows of lust, we become very, very attached to woe man or man. But when the spiritual kamadev, the aprakrita madan mohan, the aprakrita madan mohan, Sri Krishna, when he, his calm beach, when his flute enters our heart, as the Veda, Bhagavad Puran, Gita, then all lust goes, all craving goes. Ridrogam kamam, parabhakti, bhagavati pratilabhyate. The ridrogam, all the greed, lust, everything goes. The same calm, kamadev Sri Krishna, creates Krishna prema. The god of love, Cupid, in the material world creates attachment, lust, craving, tension, anxiety, and madness. Kamadev, the god of material love, which is lust, versus the god of spiritual love, which is prema. Prema is experienced and relished in the spiritual world with Krishna and the Parishads. And lust, Kamadev's kingdom, the material Kamadev, the material god of love, Cupid, Kandarpa, this is his domain, the material world. And see how he's dancing and we're suffering, driven by our lust, controlled by our lust. Kamadev gives us pleasure sometimes when we fulfill our lust. And Kamadev severely and brutally punishes us because of our lust. Kam, krodh, loh, moha, matsari, these are all anarthas, contaminations of the shuddha chit, the pure consciousness of the liberated Muktajiv, liberated soul. Sadhana, sadhan, we say sadhan, bhakti sadhan, yoga sadhana. It's a process to purify the chit, consciousness. Chaito darpanam marjanam, bhava mahad avagnirvapanam. Chit, consciousness, is like pure water, very pure mountain spring water from the top of the Swiss Alps or Himalayas, somewhere very pure, crystal clear, full of minerals, full of vitality, pran, flavor, ras, taste, and even effulgence. Mountain water is shimmering and clear and attractive and soothing and health-giving. But then it mixes up. So that analogy or comparison of pure mountain water is like pure consciousness, pure spiritual transcendental consciousness, chit. It's like the purest, most purest God-given water from the top of the most pure atmosphere and air mountains in the world, the Andes of South America, or some faraway place where there's no cities and influence of contaminants and pollution. That's the consciousness. But then the water goes to the valley, from the mountain to the valley and the cities, and becomes sullied, contaminated with so many pollutants, factory pollutants, village and cities pollutants from their sewage. And that crystal clear water becomes contaminated with residue and chemicals and heavy metals, practically becomes poisonous. What was pure becomes poisonous. Pure water becomes poisonous. You can drink it straight from the lake with your hands. You don't need a water filter. You don't have to buy a bottle of plastic water. This is called God water. There's God water and plastic water. Plastic water comes in a plastic bottle. And you can imagine how healthy it is to drink plastic water. When you drink God water, original, Asli Pani, Shuddh Pani, God is there. Rasoham apsokonteya. God, Krishna, is there. Rasoham, I am the taste of water. You see me? Can you find me in this bottled water? Can you find me in that bottled water? No. Impossible. They add all kinds of flavorings. They add all kinds of minerals. They add all kinds of little tasty flavors, coconut essence, so many things to make the plastic water somewhat a mere dim reflection of God water, Krishna water, Krishna Pani, Krishna Kapani, Shuddha Jal. This analogy of the Shuddha Jal is the consciousness, Chit. We are pure consciousness, living consciousness, Chaitana, Chit, Chaitana. And we are full of love, purity. But we get contaminated by rolling down the mountainside of the material world, passing through the valleys of the material world, moving through the cities of the material world, as rivers move from the mountaintop and through the valleys and the beautiful farms, then into the villages, into the cities. And as they move further away from the source, they get more and more contaminated. As the Atma, as the Jivatma, moves further and further away from the source, God, he becomes more and more contaminated. More distance from God, more pollutants, more contamination, more things dumped into that pure river of consciousness. The Chit Nadi, the Chit Dhara. We are a river of consciousness meant to serve the Supreme Consciousness. So then we become dirtied by lust, anger, calm, crowed, low, mohamatsari. These are pollutants and contaminants thrown in the pure waters of consciousness. So then sadhana, yoga sadhana, bhakti sadhana, are means to purify the consciousness. When we say purify the consciousness, that means, like we say, oh, this water was originally pure, and now it has become impure. I must run it through a filter. I must boil it for 10 minutes. I must put some chemical in it, chlorine, a drop of chlorine for every 10 liters of water, to reduce and remove the pollutants and contaminants so it does not harm me or poison me or even kill me. So we say, this is purified water. This is filtered water. It means it's pure water which became contaminated. Now it has to be filtered or remove the impurities. So originally, we have pure water consciousness, pure, transparent, crystal clear consciousness. Only our consciousness full of love of God. Original consciousness, there's no lust. No lust at all. Original pure consciousness, there's no greed. There's no envy, no anger, no illusion, no intoxication. Like pure water in the mountaintop. But then the story changes as the river goes down, 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 down. As we go further away from the source, God, the source of all consciousness, and we entangle ourselves and contact the material world and material people and association, our consciousness becomes contaminated. Chagokalam vamadrisham manoharam. In this flute sound of Krishna is a klim, kama beej. And Brihad Naradiya Purana is telling that this klim that Krishna vibrated from his vamshi, or say Murali, it actually, each one of these syllables, kakara, ka, k, kakara, lakara, e, m, and the chandra bindu. Above the m, there's what we call a bindu, chandra bindu symbol. There's a nasal m, like ang, like m, like this, through the nasal, in pronunciation, kling. This represents the klim, Bij mantra represents the transcendental body of Krishna. You will find Krishna's gentle, soft, merciful lotus feet there in klim. You will find his beautiful threefold form with his right leg bent over his left leg, so artistically and so attractively, like a dancer on a stage. And you will find his beautiful broad chest and powerful serpentine-like arms. And you'll find Krishna's beautiful face and the smile on his face. And then from Krishna's beautiful feet and toes all the way to his form and his beautiful head and his smile, then in the middle of his forehead, you'll find the Chandra Bindu Tilak. So this klim mantra, when one chants this mantra with Guru Kripa as a Diksha mantra, as a Guru mantra, klim, then he will see the form of Krishna. Nam, this is Shabda. Shabda It's Shabda Brahman, spiritual mantra, the spiritual seed mantra of desire, the Kam Bij mantra. So the innate original desire of the Atma is to see God, to perceive God. Some people want to be God. Other people want to see God. And other people want to serve God. So the best is to be godly, a devotee of the Lord. And the best is to see God with Premanjana Charita Bhakti Vilochanina, eyes of love. And it's best to serve the Lord with a pure heart and no ambition and no desire. So this is the Bhakt, the Krishna Bhakt. So this Bija mantra, when one chants Kling, he will see the form of the Lord. Because from Shabda comes sound, sound and form. So this is transcendental sound, Shabda Brahman. So that transcendental sound will produce a transcendental form, a lokik rup of God, Krishna. And you'll see the feet of Krishna in the face. This is the klim. Now, if we turn to Gopal Tapani Upanishad, these are the, I'm sharing the statements of our great Rasik Janas, our Gaudiya Vaishnav Mahajans, Vishnath Chakravarti Thakur and others. They're saying that Jagokalam refers, Kalam means Krishna's flute in the Sanskrit, in this verse. He played his flute. That was the cause and it had some effect. And Kalam means Kakara Lakara. These syllables are there. And then Klim is there. So Gopal Tapani Upanishad, which is one of the Upanishads, explains the meaning of this klim. And there, the Gopal Tapani Upanishad is telling, this is great Upanishad, especially for worshippers of Radha and Krishna, because it glorifies Krishna and his energies and this Kam Gayatri mantra and this Kam Bijam, the transcendental spiritual mantra that creates desire for love. So there they say, Ka la e m and then a dot over it. Klim. Ka la e m. Klim. The ka, kakara, lakara. Ka represents Krishna. In klim. Ka is Krishna. And la, ka la, la is Radha. And im, the I, K L I. K Krishna L Radha. I, the sweetness of their love. The sweetness of Radha and Krishna's prem, Radha and Krishna's madhurya prem, that sweetness that Krishna finds in Radharani, and that sweetness that Radharani finds in Krishna, that exchange, and that Shringhar ras, that Shringhar madhurya rati, this is in this syllable I, K-L-I, Radha and Krishna and the sweetness of their Vraja madhurya rati, Parakiya Bhav. And then M. K-L-I-M. M. M is their loving embrace. When Radha and Krishna come together, Radha Krishna Prem Alingata. When they embrace each other very warmly and tightly in a mutual exchange of love and communicating each other's deepest heart's feelings of oneness and surrender and dedication and selflessness through the means of a warm, loving embrace. This is M. And then above the M, there's a dot. Chandra Bindu gives it this nasal sound, Klim. That represents the sweet flavor of Radha and Krishna's taste. The sweet flavor and taste of Radha and Krishna's kiss. Because when Radha and Krishna embrace each other, then they kiss. And that M represents the sweetness of their kiss. And Gopal Tapani Upanishad. So this is Jagokalam. Jagokalam means this. In Kalam, Krishna is saying Jagokalam. He's playing, I'm playing my flute, Jagokalam. But that Kalam, that flute playing, is acting as Klim, as a Kambijam. And in that flute, in that Kambijam is me, Kamadev. And then there's Kameshwari Radha. Kameshwari Radha, she's the controller of Kamadev. Krishna's Kamadev, but who controls Krishna? Radharani. That's her 25th quality. That Radharani controls Krishna. Madan Mohan. Krishna is a Prakrita Madan or a Prakrita Madan Mohan. Manmata. Manmata Bhagavan Sri Krishna. Manmata, manmata, Bhagavan Sri Krishna. Mata means to churn, to agitate, to turn, to spin. And man means mind. So Cupid, Kandarpa, the material god of lust, Kamadev, the god of romantic love, lust in the material world, his name is Manmata, Manmata, Kandarpa, because he spins the mind around. If Cupid affects, if he affects someone or shoots his arrows at some man or woman, then their mind starts getting agitated, attracted, disturbed to the opposite gender. Becomes churned, like we say, matura, matura. Matura means the place where they're churning so much mut, buttermilk. It also means churning so much yogurt into butter, yogurt into makan, butter. Makan is, they churn from yogurt in Vrindavan. So matura, so much sound of churning that the demigods, as described in Ananda Vrindavan Champu, there's so many thousands of cows and thousands of gwals and coward men in Mathura Mandala, Trasikosh, Vrindavan, that during Krishna's time, in the morning time, early morning, when all the gopis, the elderly gopis, they have this rope with wooden pieces on it around a central churning rod, and that rod is tied to some pillar, and then they're going like this, and sing songs about Krishna. Krishna kaniya daujikabaya. And they're singing songs. And the sound of the churning of all that butter, the mat, is going up into the heavens. Into the celestial regions. To Swarga and to Indraloka, all these planets. Chandraloka, Suriloka. And it's like thousands. You can imagine the sound of 10 million kettle drums. 10 million dundavis. It would sound like 10,000 clouds rumbling in the monsoon season. So the gopis are churning, and it's so many gopis, thousands and thousands of gopis, and lakhs of cows, and liters and oceans of milk, that the whole universe is whoosh, 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 whoosh. And that's the only sound I can hear coming above the Braj Mandal, and all the demigods and devas are amazed. What is this? This is Mathura. Mathura Mandala. Mathura Mandala, where the whole atmosphere, the whole cave, the air is saturated with this sound of churning milk, which will become churning yogurt and butter, and then the laughing and the flute playing and all the sounds of the festive Rasa Krita and Bala Krita and all the pastimes. So this Manmata, Kandarpa is known as Manmata because he churns the mind. She loves me. She loves me not. She loves me. She loves me not. He loves me. He loves me not. He loves me. No, he doesn't. He does. I hope he does. It churns the mind. Agitates, spins, turns, flips over. This is Manmata. But Krishna, that aprakrita madan, swayam Bhagavan Sri Krishna, purnatam Bhagavan, he's known as manmata, manmata. He who churns the one who churns the mind of everyone in the material world with lust. Manmata. Manmata is Cupid, the god of lust, and Krishna controls the god of lust. He conquers lust with pure love, sacred love, divine love, Krishna Prem, Radha Krishna Yuga Prem. And Krishna also spins the mind, but he spins the mind with a pleasurable twist. A pleasurable twist. We feel happy to spin around slowly, but we don't like to spin around fast and get dizzy. A gentle spin, you may feel, it's nice. But if someone turns you around 100 kilometers an hour, then your head will fall off. So Cupid, the god of love, he spins our head so much it practically falls off. We go crazy over that girl and crazy over that man. And if she marries someone else, then maybe something crazy happens. Let's just say that. So Krishna Manmata, he's the one that bewilders and he attracts and spins the mind of Cupid. Because one pastime is there in the Rasa-lila that Manmatha, Kamdev, the material god of love, he became very proud. That's why one name of the god of lust, Kamdev, the material god of lust, one of his names is Kandharpa. Darpa means pride. Kandharpa. He became very proud. Why did Kandharpa, the god of material lust, become proud? He said, listen, just see how powerful I am. My name is Kamdev. I am controlling this world. Not Brahma. I am controlling this world. Not Shiva. I'll explain why, said Kamadeva. Once, Brahma was creating the universe in the very beginning. And he created one daughter. And that daughter took the form of a female deer. Somehow or other, by the arrangement of the Supreme Lord, everything's arranged by Lord Vishnu in this plane, Brahma became interested and lusty after his daughter in the form of a deer. It's in Bhagavad Puran and other Puranas. So he took Brahmaji, Adi Guru Brahmaji, or some Brahmaji, there's so many Brahmas in different universes. Brahmaji took the form of a stag or a male deer, a buck, and he chased after that daughter to enjoy with her, enjoy, female, male. But then suddenly, because of his superior intelligence, Buddhiman, Brahma, he controlled, he said, what is this? Is Kamadev? Kamadev is shooting his arrows? Kamadev is making me lusty for my daughter? This is irreligious. This is wrong. How is this happening? But he, at that moment, he was defeated by Kamadev. So then, by his power of his intelligence, he controlled his mind. A powerful intelligence. Intelligence becomes powerful when it's close to God and saturated with Shabda Brahman, Veda Brahman. So with its intelligence, he controlled its mind and he threw away that mentality because his mind created this kambichar, this lusty mentality. And that a lusty mentality and ideas and lust within the mind is like a body. We live in that body of lust. Oh, I have to have it, I have to have it. And we create a mental body. You've heard this term, mental body. So we create a mental body in our mind, and we live in that. Yes, I must have it, no matter what. And all our thoughts and focus is on that one mental desire. It's called a mentality, svabhav. Ashud svabhav. Calm svabhav, lusty nature. So then the Bhagavat says that he cast off that mentality. It doesn't mean he died, but that mentality died. He gave up that lusty mentality, that lusty mental conception. And then he restored himself to peace and gave up that wrong pursuit of his daughter. So, but the pastime shows, the anecdote shows that Brahma, he was defeated by Kamadev, at least temporarily. So Kamadev was very proud. I defeated the creator. Creator of this material world. I defeated Brahma. So naturally, if you play in the championship, in some sports championship, and you defeat the number one ranked player in the world, then you may become a little proud. I am number one in the world, top ranked tennis player. I won the Olympics. It's natural to be a little proud, all these gold medals and everybody glorifying you and like declare a national holiday when you win the trophy or whatever. This is the nature. So now Kandharva became very proud of this. And then he decided, all right, now I'll take on that great yogi. Because Brahma, he's married, and he's so busy in the mode of passion with creation. But now I'm going to take on Mahadev, Lord Shiva, that great meditator. He's not involved with creation. He simply sits peacefully and meditates on his Ishtadev, Anantashesh, Sankarshan Ram, and chants Hari Ram, Hari Ram, Hari Ram. Vaishnavanam yata shampu, Shankar Bhagavan Shiv. He was absorbed in meditation after his wife, Sati, the daughter of Daksha, in fourth canto of Bhagavatam, she gave up her life at that event, Yajna. And then she took rebirth as Parvati, the daughter of the Parvat mountain, King Parvat, Parvati, Himalaya Parvat. So then Shiva was without his wife because she gave up her body until she reappeared as Parvati or Himavati, the daughter of the Himalayan mountains. So he was in Kailash meditating deeply. Then Kandarpa came there and he tried to create lust in Shiva. And then, long story, Parvati came and was worshipping him and whatnot. But what happened was he was deep in meditation, but then Kandarpa was continually shooting his arrows at Shiva. This is in Puran. And Shiva became, he broke, his meditation broke. So if someone is in samadhi and they break their meditation because of you, that means you defeated them. You took them from samadhi. You broke their samadhi. So you are more powerful. Your power, whatever it is, was more powerful than their yoga samadhi, or whatever their samadhi was, which is like the epitome of sthitadi muni, the epitome of full mind control. The epitome and summit of full mind and sense control is samadhi, yoga samadhi. So Shiva was in samadhi, and Manmata, Kamadev, the god of lust, he was shooting his arrows, and some arrows penetrated his mind, and Shiva opened his third eye and became angry. And in that anger, because he broke his meditation, he left the sattva platform, he shoot the sattva platform of samadhi on his ishta, and he dealt with Kamadev, and he burned him to ashes with his fiery glance. So he went from sattva to raja, apparent raja, anger, fire, fire, anger. This is Rajagun. So then Kamadev gave up his body, and Shiva became known as Kameshvara, glorified as Kameshvara, the controller of Kam. But before he could control Kameshvara, he was defeated by Kameshvara, the Acharyas say, because he was in meditation and became angry. If he was totally absorbed in samadhi, Kamadev would have no effect. So Kamadev lost his body. He became known as Ananga, Ananga, no body. But eventually later he got his body back again. But even when he had Ananga, no body, that's another name for Kamadev, Ananga, he was able to act on people and create lust. So now he got his body back and he was very proud, Kandarpa. Kamadev, I defeated Brahma, Shiva, now I defeat Vishnu. These are the three gods that control the world, Brahma, Shiva, Vishnu. Vishnu, Brahma, Mahesh. And I heard that this Vishnu has come to the earth planet. This is the understanding of Kamadev. He hasn't studied the Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam. But I defeated Brahma and Shiva, and there's only one big god left, the Uparwala, Lord Vishnu, Narayan. Someone told me that Lord Narayan is now on the earth planet. He's gone down to earth to mix with the earthlings, to mix with the people there. And he's taken a Nara Rup. He's given up his Chaturbhuj Narayan form. And he has a Dobhuj, Duibhuj, two-arm form. And he's a simple boy, a coward boy running behind cows. But the interesting thing, Kamadev, about this Vishnu, this is what the Puran is telling. Someone is telling him. Interesting thing about, because he asked somebody, where is Vishnu right now? I want to show my powers because I'm Kandarpa. I'm the god of lust and selfishness and material desire. Kamadev, the god, Dev of Kam, lust. I've already polished off Brahma and I've finished Shiva, made him angry, broke his meditation. So it's a defeat on one level. Okay, I lost my body, but I still had the power to act and I got a new body again. So now they said he's there in Braj Mandal. Acha. Well, I want to go there. Can you suggest a good time, a good nakshatra and a good day and a good month to a journey over there to Vrindavan? And someone told him, yes, you want to defeat Vishnu? You want to defeat Krishna, Gopinath? I'm going to give you an idea. This is the night you can do it. So then Kamadev came to the Rasastali. Kamadev, Kandarpa, Ananga. He said, Usually when Kamadev goes somewhere, he brings his allies. He has his arrows, a rupam, and a form, and smell and taste. But then he brings some allies. Spring breezes, spring season, cool breezes, the full moon, a beach scene, a nice, beautiful forest, and then a nice river. Because when you read about all the sages and rishis in the Puranas that fall down, they're always in a beautiful forest somewhere. There's always a gentle breeze somewhere. There's a river. There's moonshine. So these are the allies. These are the allies of the assistance of the god of lust who defeats everyone. Bumblebees buzzing, bzzz, blossoming flowers with sweet, intoxicating, romantic fragrances like Malika. Then the full moon. When Kamadev comes, he brings the full moon. So he does his dirty work, so to speak. He does his activity on Purnima, because that's the lustiest day of the month, Purnima. That's the most romantic day of the month, Purnima. What's the most romantic season of the entire year everywhere in the world? Spring, Vasant. It's the lustiest season, the most romantic season. So wherever Kamadev Kandarpa goes, then he automatically brings with him the Vasant Ritu and creates spring season. If it's the winter or whatever, he makes it warm, makes it beautiful, makes it pleasurable. Then he brings the breezes and the flowers and mango blossoms and cuckoos. He brings cuckoos with him, coiled, singing beautiful fifth note. Making very romantic sounds and indistinguishable sounds which create romantic memories or romantic inspirations. All these are the allies of Kamadev, the god of lust. Manmata. Now, in one corner of the ring, in this match is Manmata. On the other corner, there's Manmata. There's Kamadev, the god of lust. On the other ring, the other corner, there's Kamadev, Krishna. Kamadev Kandarpa, the god of lust and pride. On the other side, there's Krishna, Kamadev, the Aprakrita Kamadev, Aprakrita Madan, transcendental Kamadev, the transcendental god of love, Krishna in one corner. And he's the god of pure, transcendent, pristine, immaculate, divine love. Who's going to win the battle? When Kamadev gets there, he says, wait a minute. I don't have to summon my allies. I don't have to call. Already the cuckoos are here. Already the full moon is here. Already the beautiful river is here. Already a beautiful beach is here, Jamuna Pulin. Already a beautiful, dark, romantic, secluded forest is here on besides the river. Already there's blossoming lotus flowers at night, and Malika flowers, even out of season. Even I couldn't do this. But he can do that. But all these things are there. Oh, but now we need a Nayak and a Nayak. We need a hero and a heroine. The setting landscape is not enough. These are stimulating, exciting factors. The music, the time, the moon, the seasons. So we need a hero. He's already here. He's the supreme hero. The Vrindavan Nagar, the Nayak, Sri Krishna, he's already here. And look, he's not just sitting at his table working on his computer. He's not just sitting down looking very serious. He's just leaning against a tree and he has hardly even dressed. He has a small chudder on his chest. His whole chest is exposed. The seductive, attractive part of the man, his chest and his long, powerful arms. He has this beautiful smile. His hair has just been shampooed. His hair is all shampooed and looking nice and fluffy and bouncing on his shoulders. And his eyes have beautiful, he has all makeup on his eyes and beautiful lotus. And then Kamadev looked at him and said, wow, this Krishna, this Kamadev Krishna is so handsome, so attractive. I've created so many beautiful, handsome men. And I've created so many attractive and divinely satisfying women. And I throw them together with my arrows of lust. But this Krishna is, I feel captivated. Anyway, forget about that. Okay, now I need some heroine. I need some heroine, some Nayakas. I have to find one heroine. Huh! There's thousands of them! There's 16,000 of the most beautiful girls in creation. Huh? Who are they all? I've heard in the Puran, there's some of these gopis are called Radha, and some sakis are called Lalita Vishaka. I don't know which one is which. They're all they're in front of Krishna, they're behind. Some have their hands on his shoulder. Some have their hands around his waist. Some are offering him betel to his mouth. Some are kissing his cheek. He's surrounded by all these beautiful women that are caring for him and loving and showing loving expressions in all directions. And he's simply walking along in the forest. So now, they're about to begin the dance. So then, seeing all this arrangement, Kamadev was thinking, it's going to be easy to finish this person. It's going to be so, it's like a cinch. It's so easy, it'll be so easy. I don't have to do anything. I have to shoot a few arrows, and he's finished. Krishna's finished. Already the beautiful girls are here, the beautiful night is here, the beautiful atmosphere. It's all full of romance, it's all full of seduction, it's all full of enchantment and captivation. This is a cakewalk. Kamadev thought, this is a cakewalk. This is like stealing candy from a baby. There's nothing. There's no challenge here. Shiva was a little bit of a challenge, and Brahma was a challenge. This Krishna, he's a pushover. He's a cream puff. So then, he said, but just in case, I'm a little nervous. Kamadev Kandarva felt, I'm a little nervous because the last guy I polished off, I mean, the last god that I polished off, Mahesh, when he got angry, I was just standing there, direct in his line of vision, shooting my arrows. And he opened his eyes, bingo, I was burned to ashes. I became Ananga. So I can't be so foolish. So then Kandarpa, he climbed a big Kadamba tree, really big fat tree, really big like this. And he hid on one branch behind the tree, away from Krishna's line of vision. Because that was a mistake he made the first time. When he took on Lord Shiva, he was like face to face, and Shiva opened his eyes. And he burned them to ashes. So he said, look, I'm going to hide from Krishna. I'll shoot my arrows from behind a tree like a sniper or a terrorist. I'll hide behind the Kadamba tree. For now, the rasa dance begins. The Sakya Manjari start playing Sarod and Esaraj and all kinds of kartals and pakawaj and beautiful instruments and flutes. All beautiful sound. The music begins. The Sakhi Mandris and Sakhis. Then Radha and Krishna Gopis start the rasa dance, linking arm and arm, arms together, and they start dancing in a circle. And Kandarpa's up in the tree, about 30 feet in the tree, 10 meters up in the Kadamba tree with his arrow. He's got one arrow, rupam. He's got another arrow, form and fragrance. And then taste and touch. And he's looking, watching Krishna dance with the Gopis in the rasa dance. Krishna, Radha, sometimes Krishna and Radha, then sometimes Krishna and the gopis. And he's looking, and as Kandarpa, the god of lust, Kamadev, who was trying to defeat Krishna with lusty desires, with his arrows of lust, his five, pancha sharai, his five arrows of lust, as he looks more and more at Krishna, he starts going like this. He's standing on the branch of the Kadamba tree, leaning on the big trunk of the tree, like this. Watching Krishna go around the circle. And as he's watching more, he's saying, his mind starts spinning. Kamadev has his bow pulled back, and his mind starts spinning. Oh, he's so beautiful. He's so handsome. And that Radharani is so sweet and so pure. And I've never seen such love from anyone's eyes and such tenderness and such selflessness. My mind is becoming just, I'm just, oh. Kandarpa fell out of the tree. He fell out of the Kadamba tree. Boom! He hit the ground. Ho! The music stopped. The Sakis were alarmed. What happened? Are, Saki? Kya hua? Dekho! Over there, by that Kadamba tree, some rock fell or some branch broke off. Something. Boom! You heard it? Yeah, I heard it. Let's go. So then Krishna put his flute down, his murli in his dhoti, tucked in his dhoti. And all the gopis, they went over there. And lying on the ground, clutching his bow. Manmata Kandarpa Kamadev, the god of lust, defeated by Krishna. Achita Krishna ki jai. Ananda Kanda Bhagavan ki jai. Krishna is the only Kameshwara. If we surrender to Krishna, we can destroy all lust, selfishness and greed from our heart. Ras Lila gives us that opportunity. So in this Lila from Puran, Padma Puran, where Krishna defeated Kamadev, Brahma couldn't defeat Kamadev, Shiva couldn't defeat, in one sense, but Krishna was not defeated, he was not disturbed, he was not distracted, he was not agitated, he was enjoying He was peaceful, controlled, happy, blissful, enjoying loving pastimes, Madhurya Ras Lila with the gopis before Kamadev came and after. So that's why Krishna is called Manmata, Manmata. He and he alone, only Swayam Bhagavan Sri Krishna, can churn the mind of Kamadev, the material god of love or lust, who's churning and turning and spinning the minds of everyone from Brahma to Shiva to Indra to Chandra to Surya, what to speak of prime ministers of countries and presidents of countries, and you and little old you and I, we're all spinning. The earth is spinning in its orbit, and the planets are spinning, the universe is spinning, and our minds are spinning under the power and control of Kamadev, lust. So this is a beautiful pastime, that this kling, jago kalam, kalam represents klim, represents Kamadev, the transcendental Kamadev, Sri Krishna. We aspire for his mercy, we aspire for his seva, and we long for his darshan, and hanker for his eternal service in the land of Vrindavan, a pure place of immaculate love and eternal joyful play, krida, rasa krida. There are other points about this Jagokulam that, as I mentioned, the flute had so much power that Krishna's sounding the flute and playing the fifth note, vibrating the fifth note. And in that fifth note, he was calling the gopis one by one, Jagokulam. He was calling all those Vamadrisham, Jagokulam, Vamadrisham, Manoharam, one by one, from Radha to Lalita to Vishakha, Ashasakis. Krishna's flute song was carrying their individual names with an invitation. Please come and join me in the rasa dance. Please come and dance with me. And that invitation was forcefully entered their hearts and captured their minds. That kalam, that vibration, that flute song, and Manoharam, each and every gopi's mind was captivated, enchanted, and stolen by Krishna's invitation in the form of his flute song. And that flute song, when they heard that flute song of Krishna, Jagokulam, it had so much power to turn their minds towards Krishna, Manoharam, that they got so much empowered by the sound of that flute that they could overcome all obstacles to running to Krishna, overcome all difficulties to meeting with Krishna in the middle of the forest and at midnight, Madhyarat, for a rasa dance, not a conference, not a summit conference, not a fashion show. It was a rasa dance, the most intimate expression of love dalliance and romantic amor under the full moon. That flute had all that power. So this is the power of Krishna's flute vibration. This is the power of Krishna's mantra, Krishna's song, Krishna's prabhav. So when someone invites Krishna into their ears or into their heart or into their lives by Sharanagati, then they get so much power. Power to do the impossible for the service of Krishna. Power to overcome all obstacles and difficulties for the service of Krishna. The power to overcome all internal mental limitations and laziness and lack of determination. The flute of Krishna, the vibration of Krishna, the Krishna Shabda, the Shabda Raman, the Vani, Krishna Vani, Krishna Shiksha, Bhagavad Gita Vani, Bhagavan Vani, gives us the power to become very determined in bhakti, detached from the material world, and overcome all our deficiencies, and we can run to Krishna. Other points that are mentioned that, all right, we see an example that the gopis of Vrindavan, they ran away and gave up everything by the power of that intense flute vibration, filled with love, filled with Krishna's desire to serve and please them. It was klim kakara lakara, klim kalam is there. But that flute sound is also carrying, it's the kam bijam was in Krishna's flute song. That means the desire, the seed of desire. There was two desires. Krishna, the flute song, was carrying Krishna's desire. I may desire to love you, But if you don't desire to love me, then we won't get very far. It's a one-way street. Love is a two-way street. I desire to love you and serve you and be with you forever. And if you desire the same thing, then we get married and we live cooperatively in a loving relationship as husband and wife. So in Krishna's flute, Jagokalam, he was carrying his invitation, his desire. I desire on this romantic night, I'm being stimulated by all the factors and I'm experiencing the full moon and flowers and breeze, etc. I desire your association, gopis. I desire to be with you and to love you and to dance with you under the moonshine. Please, I'm inviting you. I desire your association. Please come and be with me. Please come dance with me. So then when that flute song, the Kam Bij, entered the gopis' ears, it carried Krishna's desire to love them. And when they realized in that flute song that Krishna is inviting them one by one, Krishna is inviting Radha, Krishna is inviting Lalita, all the individual gopis, they felt so honored, they felt so satisfied, happy that Krishna is calling us. Krishna desires me. He desires to dance with me. And as the next verse says, they thought that they were the only ones going. Ayonyam, it says Ayonyam, like Anyata. There were no others, Ayonyam. That was here in verse 4. So this is the desire of Krishna was conveyed and received so wonderfully. As a bhakta, if a bhakta surrenders to Krishna and he hears the guru shiksha and the guru is teaching him that Krishna desires your love, that God is love, he desires to have loving service from your hand. It's described in the Sringhar, in the Takraji or the Murti Sringhar. When we do deity seva, we serve our Murti, Murti seva, or Archan, Sri Murti Archanam. That the puja should be done from our hand, personally. Sometimes wealthy people or busy people, they hire some Purohit or some Brahmin to do the puja for their Gar Thakur. They may have Sitaram in their house or Lakshmi Narayan, and they're busy with their life or whatever. So they hire some Brahmin to come in and dress and cook and like this. This is not what the Shastras or Acharyas are telling us, that bhakti is hand to hand. When we don't hire, the wife doesn't go out and say, listen, I'm hiring somebody. Will you cook my husband's dinner and serve it to my husband? I don't think the husband would like that very much. If it came dinner time and some maid walks in and said, your wife has hired me to cook your meal because she's very busy at the parlor getting her hair dressed and her fingernails polished. So I have come to cook your meal and serve you. Would the husband be very happy? You're getting served. You're getting hot chapatis right off the tawa. But will your heart be happy? N-O. No. So is the Supreme Personality of Godhead appearing in your home to bless us all? As is Murti Rupam, as is Sri Vigraha, will he be any less dissatisfied? So therefore, puja has to come directly from our hand. Is our garthak, or we, the wife cooks, or the husband cooks when she's not, it's not possible for her. And then they do puja, they dress themselves. This is love, one-on-one, hand-to-hand. So Krishna's flute sound, Jagokalam, well, he was personally, from his heart, through the desire, the flute song of Krishna, Jagokalam, was the medium, the sound medium, sound, shabda, it's actually transcendental, was the sound medium carrying Krishna's klim, Krishna, the kalo, Jagokalam, that flute kalam was carrying Krishna's klim, Krishna's desire to love and be with the gopis in an individual, hand-to-hand, cheek-to-cheek way in the Rasleela. So intimate, so personal, and so individual. This is Sri Krishna, Vrindavan. So intimate, so individual, and so personal, and so close. God is very, very close in Vrindavan. But in Vaikuntha, he's very, very far. This is the meaning that carried Krishna's desire. And then Krishna's desire in the flute song created desire because it's carrying, it's a kling beach. The mantra of desire, carrying Krishna's desire, when the gopis heard the flute song, that awakened and inflamed and aroused their natural desire to love and serve Krishna and Madhurya Rati. And this is all going on in Kalam. Krishna is conveying his desire and inviting, please, RSVP, responde suve play. RSVP is in French. You write a wedding invitation or party. So Krishna was sending an invitation. Please respond. This is my desire. So how do the gopis respond? Well, I'm really busy. I can't make it to your wedding. I'll send a gift. No, the gopis said, yes, we accept your invitation. And we also desire to be with you also. And we'll show it because we ran out of the house so fast to show our desire, to show how your flute song entered our hearts and created, which was already there since our birth, but ignited our eternal desire to love you intimately in an amorous, romantic way. And this is that very night we've all been waiting for, both you and I. Now you're inviting me, and I'm accepting your invitation with great enthusiasm and great happiness. And I'm running out of the house with one earring on one ear and one bangle and not even half dressed, my dress disarray, because I have so much desire to reciprocate with your desire. I have so much desire to love you purely and intimately, as you have desire to love me purely and intimately, that I rush out. I don't have time to even dress. I have to go there. Maybe he changes his mind, or maybe plays another flute song. Maybe plays another flute song and says, please don't come. The party's been canceled. Wah, 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 wah. Hey, wait a minute. That flute song said the dance is over. Stay home. We were saying, as we started, the influence of Krishna's flute on the gopis. So someone might say, well, they've been in love with Krishna since they're born, and the love was growing and growing, and now they're old enough to express their desires and their love. So finally, the arrangement has been made, and now they're coming together. So Krishna has the power to attract someone that loves him. It's easy to attract someone that loves you. But it's very difficult to attract someone that doesn't love you, because you have to create attraction in them by your behavior, by your speech, by your gentleness, your love, your service mood, whatever. So some try to say, so what's the proof of this attraction of Krishna's flute? No. Krishna's flute attracts everyone in the universe. It's told later in the Bhagavatam, and it's also told in the Venu Gita, chapter 21 of the 10th canto. The gopis are glorifying Krishna's flute, Venu Gita. The gopis, when Krishna's in the forest, when they're in Purva Rag, they haven't met yet for the Rasa dance. Their love is growing and blossoming and expanding more and more in their hearts and minds, waiting for that wonderful day when they'll finally meet. Their minds are surging with utkantita bhav, anticipation, eagerness, and hankering to meet their beloved some night in the future. And they're always dreaming and thinking and glancing at him here and there. So this is a Purva Rag. So sometimes during this time to comfort each other and to pacify each other, their burning desire to meet their beloved, they would gather together, the gopis, sometimes one or two or in small groups, and they would glorify Krishna through the context of glorifying his flute. So the mothers of these gopis would think, the Kanyakumaris, whoever, unmarried gopis, the mothers would think, oh, our daughters are simply singing about that flute player, because sometimes they sing shlokas about Krishna and his brother Balaram and the forest. That's a very innocent song that my daughters are singing in the Venu Gita. You know, this chapter 21 is called Venu Gita. The gopis glorify Krishna's Venu. But actually, woven in those songs, in those verses of Venu Gita, the gopis are glorifying Krishna in so many different angles and so many different views from their heart, but they're covering it in parokshavad with indirect speech, so their mothers wouldn't stop them. If the gopis started saying, I'm falling in love with a boy named Krishna, he's from Nandagram, I really miss him and I dream about him. Huh? What kind of song are you singing, my beta? What kind of gun is this? What is this? Huh? What are you singing about some boy for? You're not even married. Huh? Hush, hush. What is this? And pulls her ear. I'm sorry. So the gopis are very chatur, ati ati chatur, very, very clever. So in one of those songs that they're singing, Geet means song, one of the songs that the gopis are singing before they meet Krishna and dance in the Rasa dance, there's one line where they say, Trilokyam They're talking about Krishna's flute. Vamsri Trilokyam Samohitam. Vamsri Trilokyam Samohitam. Krishna's Vamsri, when he plays the Vamsri, not only does it, what they're saying Sham, saying, they say that. They say Tat, Tat Vamsri, Vamsri, Tat Vamsri Trilokyam Samohitam. That Tat, that Vamsri, not Krishna's Vamsri, because that would be a no-no. Oh, there's that Vamsri. Oh, mother, you must have heard. You heard that Vamsri player, that flute player from Nandagram? Yes, yes, there's so many boys play flute. Whenever their cows wander here and there, they catch their veno and they toot, 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 and the cows come running. Ah, there's so many flute players. It's an innocent song my daughter is singing about some flute player. Tat Vamsri Trilokyam Samohitam. That Vamsri, whose Vamsri? My that. My that, the gopis are thinking. My that means my Krishna, my Shyam, my Gopal, Govinda. That flute, and not any other flute, has the power, Trilokyam Samohitam, to some samyak, completely bewildered the Trilokams, Bhurbhuvasva, the entire universe from bottom to middle to top, is Mohita, bewildered, Samohita, completely and absolutely bewildered by that flute sound. So the mothers think, oh, that's nice, it's a very exaggerated song my daughters are singing, that this flute is so bewildering. Yes, I also like flute playing. My husband also plays flute. He's a coward man, and he used to be a coward boy. And he was playing flute when he was young. And when I would collect water, I would hear his flute. And it was so enchanting. It's a common thing. But now we got married, and he doesn't play the flute. He's too busy working. Same old story. So now they think innocent enough. But the gopis, what is their internal meaning when they sing Tat Vamsri Trilokyam Samohitam? They're thinking, that Vamsri, his Vamsri, my Vamsri, my Vamsri Dari, my Krishna, who I long for and dream of and hanker to get a glimpse of here and there in the pasturing grounds. If I cross his way by chance, or our paths cross, that Vamsri Dari, that Krishna, forget about Trilokyam. Because Trilokyam also has a localized application. Trilokyam means Bhur Bhuva Swa, the earth planet, the planets below the earth, and the earth planet, the higher heavens and the upper heavens. Bhur Bhuva Swa. But also Trilokyam means Samohitam. The gopis are saying, my Lokyam is becoming Samohitam. They're saying that, the gopis are saying, the internal meaning the gopis are saying in this Vaino Gita, my Lokyam. Lokya means loka. Loka means planet, where you reside, where you are. So the planet, or the place of resonance for the Atma, is the body. And the body has three planes of existence. There are three planes of existence. Mano, vayo, kaya, mano, vakya. I mean, like this. So when the gopis say Trilokyam Samohitam, when I hear Krishna's flute, my senses are bewildered. My mind is bewildered. I'm bewildered. My body, senses, mind, everything is bewildered completely by that flute player. And elsewhere in the Rasa Panchadaya, it says that Krishna's flute playing, Jagokalam, bewilders not only the gopis in the three aspects of their being, their body, mind, and speech, but it bewilders every single lady and every single demigod in the whole three unit, all the three planetary systems. The demigods become bewildered and faint in their flower airplanes when they hear Krishna's flute. About the Rasa dance, all the wives of the demigods became filled with romantic and conjugal feelings for Krishna when they hear his flute. Not only the wives, but their husbands, those great, powerful, beautiful, handsome, influential devas, the demigods. Vishnu Chakravartipad says in his Tika on Raslila, when the devas and devis, when Indra and Shachi and with their wives, they're flying around in their Viman, Pushpa Viman, floating in the sky over the Ras Leela and hearing the music, and their wives are seeing the dancing. The wives become bewildered by that Vamsri, Samohitam. Tat Vamsri, Samohitam. So bewildered, their braids become undone, their clothes become loosened, they become disturbed and agitated with attraction for Krishna. Well, it's natural. They're beautiful celestial ladies. But what is most surprising, what's most adbut and wonderful, is that there are husbands who have so much virility, power, strength, invincibility, the great gods of the universe controlling all the aspects of this world and universe. When they, sitting with their wives on their flower airplanes, when they hear the sound of Krishna's flute, says our Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Pad, the men, the husbands, they become agitated with romantic desires for Krishna, to be with Krishna and see the rasa dance. That's the power of Krishna's Jagokulam that attracts all the animals of Vrindavan, attracts and bewilders the gopis, Trilokyam Samohitam Jagokulam Krishna, Sham. And not only that, a handsome man can easily attract lots of women. But imagine a handsome man who attracts all the most beautiful women in the universe, and that handsome man attracts all the most handsome men in the universe. That's supreme Karshan. That's supreme unlimited Sankarshan. Samkarshan, complete, unlimited, absolute attraction. And that's Krishna, reality, the beautiful. Sri Krishna, reality, the beautiful. And that's the power of Krishna's beautiful and wonderful flute, Jagokulam, Madhuram. Jagokulam, Madhuram, Madhuram, Sham, Sham, Sundaram. Jagokulam. And there's more. When the personified Vedas, the Shrutis, the great Rishis, the Shrutidharas. Shrutidhara means those who have the Vedic knowledge in their chitta, in their consciousness. They're holding Shruti, all the Rig Veda, Samaveda, Yajurveda, Taravaveda. The Shrutis, the original foundation of all Vedic knowledge, the root, the Vidyamul of the entire Vedic Sanatana Dharma culture, Shrutis. Then later the Smritis, Puranas, Itihas, Mahabharata and Ramayana, then Srimad Bhagavatam, Vedanta Sutra, then Srimad Bhagavatam. The Shruti Dharas, those great rishis, Mahajans of the whole universe, those spiritual reservoirs of unlimited knowledge, those paragon of munis and rishis, the Vishishta munis and all these great Atri munis, all these great rishis of the ancient past. They're called Shruti Dhara from Satyuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapara Yuga. They carried, they had no palm tops and laptops and head tops and car tops and whatever, table tops. They had a brain on top of their shoulders. These rishis had a brain on top of their shoulders and their brain was tops. They're called Shrutidhar. They're holding all the Vedic knowledge and all the Vidya and Paravidya, material knowledge and spiritual knowledge, holding it all in their consciousness and mind. And remembering it all, and had full capacity and access to all of it. They had unlimited hard drive capability. And their brains, the rishis and munis, unlimited hard drive backup storage space, 10 million gigabytes, 10 million gigabyte brains. These are Shrutidharas. And they are so renounced, the greatest vairagis, the greatest vidvam, the Vedacharyas, the Vedic Mahajans, so much Vidvam and Tapabalam, Tapabalam, Vidvam, they heard the sound of Krishna's flute, the Vamshi, and they became Samohita. Nothing in the universe could ever bewilder these great rishis, the Shrutidhara sages of the ancient Vedas. They're up to calm, no desire to fulfill, no unfulfilled desire, completely peaceful minds and hearts, and their atmaram, internally self-blissful, relishing the greatest joy within themselves, no lacking, no need, no want, no craving, shanti, shanti, peace and bliss. You may be peaceful, but not blissful. You're peaceful for now because you got fired. So a few days you're peaceful, then you become agitated to find a job. So there's shanti and anand, peaceful. These immovable, these sages, these great pure sages and rishis, they are as immovable as the Himalayas. Krishna says in Gita, among immovable objects, I am the Himalayas. Immovable. Nothing could move them but Krishna's flute. Jagokulam Samohitam. When they heard the sound of Krishna's flute, carrying that calm bijam, That calm bijam of Krishna's flute song entered the ears of the rishis and sages, the Shrutis personified. It created desire in their heart. I want to serve Krishna like a gopi. Desire of love. The calm bij is the Madhurya bij. It is this desire and inspiration and instigation for romantic conjugal love, amorous love. It appeared in the hearts of the sages, inconceivable and even bewildering to them. How is this happening? But the object of our romantic inclinations, the object of our intense craving, is for immaculate love, a divine eternal relationship with God. We want to become gopis. We want to be Braja gopis. We want to be like the gopis and dance with Krishna in the Rasa dance and hear his flute and run from our homes and be with him in Vrindavan. This desire awoken in personified Vedas. Then they did tapa and austerity. And they were born in Vrindavan. And it's Boma Vrindavan and the Prakrit Leela and the earth planet. 5,000 years ago, they appeared as gopis. The Shruti Chari, it's told in Padma Purana, other Puranas, and also in Bhagavat Purana. Shruti Chari gopis. Shruti Chari. Chari means to move or to follow. Those who follow the Shrutis, the Shruti Dharas, these great, most exalted saints and sages and rishis, they became gopis in Vrindavan. To Chago Kalam Vamadrisham Manoharam. And these rishis became gopis with gopi deha, female forms, Satchitananda, spiritual bodies, to love and serve Krishna eternally. And they had Vamadrisham, they had beautiful, charming, dancing eyes and beautiful, celestial, divine, feminine forms. And when they heard Krishna's flute, their mind was Manoharam, stolen, and they ran to the Rasa dance. This is being described here also. Chago Kalam Vamadrisham Manoharam. Not only that, but someone else became attracted. The mother of the Vedas. I described the knower of the Vedas, the Shrutidhara rishis. They became attracted to Krishna's flute. So we're describing the power of Krishna's flute, the attractive sankarshan of Krishna's flute. Okay, it attracted some village girls, but it also attracted the greatest rishis in the universe, the greatest rishis and sages and munis and tapasvis and atmaram munis in the entire history of India, the entire history of the universe. They became attracted so much they wanted to become gopis, and they did. So they are the knower of the Vedas. They realize the Shrutidharas. But now the mother of the Veda. Who is the mother of the Vedas? Gayatri Devi, Gayatri Mata. Gayatri Devi, Gayatri Mata. She heard the sound of Krishna's flute. Chago Kalam. Vamadrisham Manoharam. The Brahmins. The Dvijas, the twice born, initiated with Diksha, they chant the Brahma Gayatri. Om Bhurvavaksva Tatsavitovaranyam. And they chant that Brahma Gayatri, and it controls their mind. And they worship Tri Sandhyam Vandanam, Suve Prabhat, and in the afternoon, Madhya, daytime, noon, and evening, with the Tri Sandhyam Vandanam, prayers at three times of the day. The Brahma Gayatri. And in the morning, they worship the Gayatri Devi in the form of Savitri. And they chant the Gayatri. In the afternoon, they worship Gayatri Mata in the form of Gayatri. Excuse me. In the morning, they worship Gayatri Devi in the form of Gayatri Devi. In that, that's the Devi at the morning time receiving the Brahma Gayatri. In the noon, they worship Savitri. Then in the evening time, they worship Saraswati. With the Brahma Gayatri. And by doing that, the Brahmins and the twice-born Kshatriyas or other high-class Diksha, human beings who have received Diksha from Guru, by chanting that Brahma Gayatri, their minds become peaceful. The balance. It's called Trigunamayi Shamak. Trigunamayi Shamak mantra. The Trigunas become balanced. Because in the Trisandhyam, when the day shifts from night to morning, and from morning to noon, and then from afternoon to evening, there is a disturbance in the trigunas, trigunamayi dosh, trigunamayi dosh, in the balance of the three modes of nature, rajagun, tamagun, sattvagun. There is an imbalance due to the movements of the sun, position of the sun. It's dark and light at dawn, and it's too much bright light in the midday. In the afternoon, dark and night are competing for control of the earth. So then they sit peacefully, do Achman, take bath, do Achman, face the east or the north. And then they chant in front of the Shalagram or Takurji. Then they become peaceful, balanced. The mind becomes balanced, the life airs, the panchapran, and the mind becomes balanced by chanting Brahma Gayatri. This is Vedic culture. This is the purpose. So their minds cannot be manoharam. But now, listen, this is most amazing, Chamadkar, that Gayatri Devi, she's the mother of the Vedas. She is being worshipped in three forms. Gayatri Devi is being worshipped in three forms when we chant Brahma Gayatri. She's being worshipped as Savitri, Gayatri, and Saraswati. The Shuddha Saraswati, Divya Saraswati, goddess of knowledge and auspiciousness. When she heard Jagokulam Vamadrisham Manoharam, her mind, Gayatri Mata, Veda Mata, Gayatri Devi, her mind became Manoharam. Enchanted, captivated, seducted by Krishna's flute sound. And she, and that flute sound of the Jagokulam carries the clean beach. The clean beach, the seed of romantic desire, entered the ears of Gayatri Mata, Gayatri Devi, Savitri, Gayatri Mata, the mother of the Vedas, and entered her ears and created desire for romance, desire for amorous relationship with Swayam Bhagavan Sri Krishna. And she expressed this, and she did austerities to fulfill her desire to be a gopi or to reciprocate with that desire to love Krishna. And then she manifested herself in this world, Gayatri Mata, as the Gopal Tapani Upanishad. Gayatri Devi, she manifested herself and took the form of an Upanishad called Gopal Tapani, which is all about Gopal. All about Gopal, Vrindavan, Krishna, Gopinath. And it's all about his calm beach and all about his calm Gayatri. So she expresses her love and her intimate romantic aspirations by becoming the description of the leelas and the meaning of the calm beach and calm Gayatri contained in her literary expansion as the Gopal Tapani Upanishad. This is another example of tat venam trilokyam samohitam. That Jagokulam, not only is he Manoharam stealing the minds of the gopis, but he's stealing the minds of Gayatri Mata and the greatest rishis. But he's not stealing our minds. No way, Krishna, you can't steal my mind. This is a very beautiful tattva, very beautiful points we're hearing on this Jagokulam. Is your mind getting enchanted by this discussion? Go like this, yes. Is it creating a desire to love Krishna and fly off to Krishna and run away to Krishna? I hope so. I stand here in Vrindavan at the Rasastali on behalf of Lord Krishna with open arms saying, Swagatam, Swagatam, one and all. Come one, come all, Swagatam. Come to Vrindavan. There's some other point here that the moon, then Krishna played Jagokulam. Krishna played his flute. Why he played his flute? Because of the Udipan. Jiva Goswami Pad. In Gopal Champu, he explains the very beautiful Leela about that night of Sharad Purnima that we're describing in Rasa Leela, Rasa Panchadhyaya. So on that beautiful, most auspicious and romantic night, then Krishna was very much affected by the full moon, stimulated, excited. His heart was inflamed with desire, romantic desires, amorous love, to be with his supreme lovers, the coward damsels of Braj, principally Srimati Radhika and all the other gopikas. When Krishna saw the rising moon, then he was amusing. He was musing to himself, looking at the moon with the reddish tint and color. And he was asking himself three questions. Because it was so beautiful and so much influential, it captured this whole being. Krishna's whole being was captured by that Akanda Mandalam, that full moon. And then he saw the full moon and three questions arose in Krishna's mind. Is this reddish moon So Gopal Champu, Jiva Goswami tells this beautiful story that Krishna, gazing at the moon, then he started thinking. He was so amazed and overwhelmed by that beautiful sight of that moon. And he asked himself three questions. Is this beautiful reddish moon a large, gigantic, reddish ball of kunkum, a mountain of kunkum rising in the sky? No. It can't be kumkum, reddish, big reddish ball of kumkum. That's not possible. Oh, this Arunena Limpan Chandra, this reddish moon, it must be the face of Kandarpa. It must be the face of Kamadev. He must be very angry with me. And so on. His face is very red with anger. It must be Kamadev's reddened face and anger looking at me angrily. No, it's not comedy. This reddish moon, this is the face of Radharani. This is actually the beautiful, glowing, soothing, attractive, reddish-tinted face of my Radharani, rising in the sky to smile at me and greet me on this romantic night. Ah, nice. Then as Krishna's looking at the moon and this type of reverie and absorption, he starts imagining that the moon is speaking to him. And the moon is saying, hey, Krishna, why are you hesitating? Why are you hesitating? Run out of your house. Go have a Ras Leela. Why are you hesitating? Then Krishna, he says, yes. And then he sees again the moon, and he criticizes the moon. He says, listen, moon, you're so proud of your radiance and so proud of your beauty, but you don't know my Radharani. You're reminding me of my Radharani. Your radiance and your glow, which is illuminating the whole sky and creating romantic feelings in the hearts of all lovers in the world, that radiance, that glow, that's nothing. Simply the toenails of my Radharani. Simply the glow of her unguli, nak unguli. Her toes are much more radiant and brilliant than all your rays put together. Chandradev. So then Krishna takes his flute, Jagokalam. Then he plays his flute, such sweet melodies and ragas, and he starts vibrating the fifth note, mixing with it the calm beach, inflaming and lighting romantic desires in the hearts of Radha and the gopis. And they start becoming excited and stimulated for romantic love, a divine night of dancing and celebrating pure loving embraces and pure loving association of Krishna, Sham Sundaram. And then he plays a flute song and he sends a flute song to Radharani. And that flute song that Krishna plays and sends to Radharani, it takes the form of words. And in that flute song, it takes the form of words which express Krishna's desire towards Radharani. So Radharani, Krishna plays that flute, Jagokalam. And the flute vibration, that beautiful love song, goes and enters Radharani's ears. And what does Krishna's flute song speak to Radharani? What does the flute song say? In that song, in that flute song, Krishna says, O Radharani, I love you. I love you more than anything. And when I simply remember you, I fill with the greatest, most intense feelings of loving bliss. Please come and be with me. And then Krishna took his flute and he played a song, a beautiful flute song, Jagokalam. He played his flute to attract the other Vamadrisham, to attract the other charming-eyed gopis. And as he played, this song went out to the ears of the gopis. And this song had a message. This flute song carried these words from Krishna's heart. And he said, invited the gopis. And he said, O my gopikas, O my darlings, O my darlings, O my damsels, please come and dance with me and relish the nectar of my lips, which is sweeter than the sweetest honey in the world. So when Krishna's playing like this and the gopis are hearing and they run out and they overcome all obstacles and superiors and any limitation, they run from their houses. Then Krishna runs and they all meet at the Rasastali. and the rasa dance begins. So this is the lila behind this, the full moon, how the full moon became an udipan, or a stimulant, or a cause to increase Krishna's desires for Madhurya Rati and love. And he responded by Jagokulam playing the flute and having this dialogue with the moon. So Krishna, love, as you know, makes people a little crazy. So even Krishna, when he fell in love with the gopis so intensely on that beautiful night of Rasa Purnima, the Maharas dance, he was a little crazy beside himself, having a conversation with the moon planet, then criticizing the moon planet, and like this. So this is from Gopal Champu. Now we want to discuss this Vamadrisham Manoharam. These words, and that will conclude this verse number 3. Vamadrisham Manoharam. We discussed many of these concepts of Vamadrisham. The charming eyes of the gopis became enchanted and attracted. When they heard Krishna's flute, their eyes started fluttering with excitement. And their hearts started melting and jumping with enthusiasm to meet Krishna and dance with him throughout the night. Vamadrisham, their charming eyes. First, their hearts started dancing. Manoharam means that Krishna entered their hearts with his flute song, with the invitation and the calm bijam. He entered their hearts. And their hearts intensified and fructified with so much beautiful desires for romantic love and amorous bliss. And their eyes, being unable to contain that great exaltation and great ecstasy rising in their hearts, their eyes started fluttering. Those charming, beautiful eyes of the gopis, Vamadrisham. Manoharam, Krishna, Hari means thief. Usually thieves come in the dead of night. The dacoy, the gunda, badmash. They come in the dead of night, Madirat, 12, 1, 2. And they do their nefarious deeds to pilfer your houses and rob you of all your possessions. What is ever valuable, near and dear to you, jewelry, gems, money, gold, they steal right from underneath your sleeping nose. You're sleeping in your house and they come in and silently and secretly and steal everything. Chago Kalam Vamadrisham Manoharam. Krishna's flute came like a great thief, Hari. In the dead of night, when the gopis were in their homes peacefully. And that flute entered the gopis' ears and went to the very core, their treasury house, the treasury room of their house of their heart, house of their heart. And it broke open that lock and went into their hearts and stole their man. Stole their minds and their hearts from every other thought and every other desire. Manohara means mind. Their minds were stolen. When your mind is stolen, then there's no more big shape, no more distraction because there's no more mind. So their minds were stolen. They couldn't think about anyone else but Krishna. They couldn't desire anyone else but Krishna. And then he thought, oh, this thief has stolen our property. So then he rose together and said, hey, Are, Chor. Chor, a thief has come in and went to our secret hiding place, our most secluded, secret, private hiding place of our heart. He's somehow penetrated our barriers, somehow penetrated all of our dharma and varna dharma, ashram dharma, went right there to the core of our hearts and stole our very hearts. He enchanted our very beings. That great thief, Krishna Chor, that Manochar, Manohar, Murli Manohar, he played the Murli innocently enough. Beautiful enough, seductive vibration, soothing, sweet, deep, and penetrating. It was more than music. It was magic. It was more than magic. It was thievery. He stole my heart. He stole my mind. And he ran away with it. He ran to Vamshivat on the banks of the river. And he left me stranded, empty, without my heart, without my mind. Hey, come on. Hey, Sakis. Come on, let's get together. Hold hands, join. Let's go run down there. We must retrieve our heart from that Manohar, Krishna, that great thief. He can't get away with this. Let us show him. So this Manohar, Krishna is acting like a thief. And his flute is his flute. Manohar means the thief, one who steals the mind. What stole the mind? Desire. What desire? Desire to love Krishna, the calm beach, The Aprakrita Kam, Dave. He's a great thief that steals desire. He steals our minds away from any other work. The gopis' minds, they took their minds off any other work. Vamadrisham manoharam. Vamadrisham. The vision, drisha means dristi, darshan. The vision of the gopis with charming eyes means charming eyes, also means vision, manoharam. Drisham, manoharam. Their vision was taken away, was stolen by this thief, manohar. So they were looking at their housework. They were looking at their relatives. Their vision was focused on their domestic duties as married women and gopikas of Vrindavan. And their vision was placed there. And Krishna stole their minds and their vision. This drisham, manohar, their vision was taken away from any other goal or object or sight. Their attention was taken away from any other object or sight. And was redirected towards Murli Manohar Krishna. So their vision is with their family, domestic duties, Varna Dharma, Ashram Dharma. Now the Jagokulam enters their minds, steals their minds, turns them around, spins them around, and they stop looking at their duties, they stop looking at their relatives, they stop gazing externally to all of that around them. They give up their vision of all their surroundings, and their drisham becomes Krishna Drishti, Rasalila Drishti, and they run to Krishna to retrieve their minds and to see the object of their only desire, Sri Krishna. Manoharam. Now, to stretch this to our level, some appreciation. This is our idea, our Gurudev. He often spoke like this. He would take something completely transcendental, existing on the highest plane, and try to show some connection between we sadhakas, we conditioned souls. Once, Prabhupada was giving a tika on the 10th canto on the Kamsa Mardana. Kans Mardana. In the very early chapters of the 10th canto, Krishna is born in Kans' prison house in Mathura, Devaki Nandan, that is. And then later, Krishna came for a wrestling match, and he defeated the wrestlers and killed the wicked, demoniac, tyrannical, treacherous Rakshash, the king, Kans. So Prabhupada is writing tikas. So this is a pastime of Krishna that took place 5,000 years ago in Vrindavan. And Prabhupada in his commentary, my Gurudev, he said, Kamsa was harassing all the Brishnis. He chased all the family members of Vasudev and Devaki and Krishna. He chased them all out of Mathura Mandal. They were hiding in caves in fear of that wicked demoniac king Kamsa. And Kamsa was killing the cows and chasing the Brahmins and stopping their yajna. He was an enemy to the Brahmins, an enemy to the cows, an enemy to Krishna's family. He was such a wicked, demoniac king, Kans. So Krishna went and killed him. And Gurudev, when he's writing his tika, he's commenting on that and what it meant. And he said, just like today, my disciples and the Krishna devotees, the worshippers of Krishna, like Vasudeva and Devaki 5,000 years ago, and like the Brishnis and his Parivara 5,000 years ago, who worship God and they worship cows and serve cows and did yajna, and they were doing all this puja then. But just like then, my disciples who were trying to worship Krishna and protect cows and serve cows, like the Brishnis, they're being harassed. They're being harassed and arrested and persecuted by the Kamsa-like kings and leaders of the modern world. This is an example of taking the ancient Shastra and the ancient Leela and applying it to the modern context, even down to the level of the sadhakas. This is my Gurudev's expertise, to make the ancient alokic thing somewhat even relevant to the modern society. That's one of his distinguishing qualities of his tikas. Following in line, Guru the Shishya, then we take this phrase, Jagokulam Manoharam, we find Manoharam. Cause, Jagokulam. The cause is Krishna plays his flute. And what's the effect? The Vamadrisham Manoharam. The gopis, their minds become attracted. Their hearts become enchanted. Their hearts become stirred and filled with romantic, amorous desires to please, dance, serve, embrace, kiss Krishna in the Rasalila. So this is Manoharam. So Krishna's flute is a Manoharam Murali. Manoharam Jagokulo. The Jagokulo, the lakshana, the characteristic of Krishna's flute is its mind-stealing. Krishna's flute is mind-stealing. Manohar means mind-stealing flute. And man means mind or chit or heart, sometimes in Sanskrit. Krishna's flute sound, like Kamabij, transcendental Kamabij, stole their mind, stole their hearts, stole their lives, stole their hands away from their domestic duties, taking care of their husbands, cooking, serving, dressing. Their hands pulled away from all those activities. Their eyes withdrew from looking at their own bodies. Their dressing, brushing their own hair and decorating their own eyes. Their hands and vision and attention withdrew from even their own bodies and their own body decoration. What to speak of their vision and hands withdrawing from their service to their children and their relatives and in-laws. And everything was focused on Krishna. Their five, their panch karmendriya, their panch ganendriya. All their senses and mind became manoharam. All the senses merged in the mind, man, and the whole thing was stolen. Their senses, their body, their mind, jagokulam, manoharam, he stole everything. Therefore, Krishna has the power of manoharam, and Krishna's flute has the power of manoharam. Krishna is a thief. He's glorified throughout the Vedas. When he was a young baby, he was a thief. He stole butter, and he was glorified as Makkanchor. Then he grew up a little bit, and he went to the riverbank, and he stole the saris of six-year-old girls in a very playful, prankish, funny way. He laughed and giggled, and they laughed and giggled. It was all child's play. They were six-year-old girls bathing the Yamuna, as was the standard for ladies to bathe naked in a secluded place, the mothers and the daughters. And the daughters were there doing Katyani Brat. So Krishna came with his coward friends. He had a few toddlers with him in the tree. Some young boys were with him. And it was all good-natured fun, as children often do. Boys and girls play together, and there's no impropriety. No one raises eyebrows. No one makes any criticism. If a three-year-old, five-year-old boy plays with a five-year-old girl, right? So the girls are 6 years old, and Krishna says, hee-hee, hey, come on, boys. Let's take their saris. This will be fun. Oh, Krishna, we can't do that. If they come out of the Jamuna, they'll be shivering, and they'll be cold. It's wintertime, and they have no clothes. Oh, it's fun. It's a game. Let's go. Okay, let's go. The boys get together. They take the girls' saris. They run up at the tree, and the gopis, oh, where's our saris? And that's called Gopi Vastraharana. Again, Krishna's stealing. Gopi Vastrachur. Then Krishna grows up, becomes a young, dashing, darling youth. Kishore Rup. Kishore Krishna. Navayovanam. And then he starts stealing the hearts of the beautiful doe-eyed gopis. The Vamadrisham Manoharam. He starts stealing their hearts with his fun and play, with his looks, with his glances, with his flute, with his sporting, with just his general presence in Vrindavan, he stole their hearts. So this is showing the power of this Manoharam. But now Krishna's flute has the power to steal. Krishna's leelas have the power to steal. How many people in India and how many people around the world have had their minds stolen by Gopal's Makkanchor leelas? They're so sweet. They're so entertaining. They're so attractive. They're so satisfying, they're so fulfilling, and they fit. When we read about Krishna's antics and leelas of stealing butter and breaking into the houses and looking this way, and the mother's coming with a stick and scolding and pulling his ear, very sweet. It steals our mind. It steals our hearts. So wonderful. What a beautiful Bhagavan. Chor Bhagavan. What a beautiful Swayam Chor Bhagavan Sri Krishna. He's a chor. He's a thief, but he's a spiritual thief. He steals love, not money. He steals hearts, not gold. He steals butter, not cars. Modern thieves, they steal automobiles and people. And so this is Krishna's transcendental stealing. And he takes us away from what? From Maya. We're in Maya, and Krishna comes to steal us away, to seize us, to capture us, to take us to his kingdom of love, kingdom of joy, Goloka Vrindavan. That's good stealing. There's such a thing as good stealing and bad stealing. Like a knife. A knife can be good or a knife can be bad. A good chaku, a bad chaku. A bad chaku is in the hand of a daku. A bad chaku is in the hand of a daku. A daku is a thief or a murderer. He takes that knife and he kills you. That's very bad. But now that chaku, or knife, in the hand of a good person becomes a good knife when it's in the hand of the surgeon. And he's removing, cutting some deathly cancer from your body. That's a good knife. So Krishna, there's good stealing and bad stealing. Any stealing by one man or woman in this world, it's illegal, it's irreligious, it's punishable. But when Krishna steals, it's totally legal, it's not punishable, it's worshipable. This is Krishna's stealing. It's honorable and worshipable. And it's satisfying. No one cries when Krishna steals your heart. If someone steals your gold, you cry big time. If someone steals your car, you really cry. If someone steals your wife, you really cry. But the coward boys, the coward men are not crying because Krishna says, listen, I'm taking one, but I'm giving you one. So Yoga Maya arranges. When Krishna takes one wife from a gopa, then he leaves one wife. Exact carbon copy, even better. Krishna takes the spiritual one. Nobody wants anything spiritual. So Krishna takes the spiritual wife and leaves the material one that's really into enjoying. She's not material. So the point we're establishing is this, the stealing quality of Krishna. And I'll read, there's some famous bhajans and ashtakams describing Swayam Chor Bhagavan Sri Krishna. Chor Bhagavan. One is by our famous acharya, Vallabhacharya. Vallabhacharya is a great Vaishnavacharya. The Vallabha Sampradaya, Sri Krishna Sharanam Mama. And they have their deity of Srinathji, Giridhari Krishna from Vrindavan. He's living in Natwara. So he wrote a whole song called the Charastakam. Now, long before even Vallabhacharya wrote his beautiful Astakam, there's a Charastakam written by Bilva Mangala Thakur, Surdas. Bilva Mangala Thakur. He wrote the famous, he lived 900 years ago. He wrote this Krishna Karnamrita. Govinda Damo Dharamadaveti. Govinda Damo Dharamadaveti. And we say Drupadi. And so many songs, so many stanzas are in there. So many shlokas. It's called the Govinda Damodar Madhava Stotram. It's about Drupadi. It's about Arjuna and the gopis. It's a beautiful stotram sung by pandits all over India. Govinda Damodar Madhava Stotram. That's written by Bilva Mangala Thakur. He wrote Krishna Karnamrita. And he also wrote a Chorasticum. 8 beautiful Sanskrit poetic prayers to glorify Krishna the thief. So I'm going to read a couple. And here are the translations. Because he steals gopis and he steals conditioned souls. He steals conditioned souls like us. Braje prasiddham navanita choram gopan gananam chatukula choram Aneka janmarjita papa choram choragraganyam purusham namami. Bilvamangala Thakur, Sant Bilvamangala says, I offer pranams, namami, to that purusha, that chor purusha, that foremost greatest of all thieves, who is famous in Braj, Braje Prasidham, as a navanita choram, navanita chor, as a butter thief. And he steals the Dukula Choram, the Dukula. So the translation of this beautiful bhajan by Bilva Mangala Thakur, he's glorifying Krishna's a Navanita Chor and Dukula Chor. Dukula means like dopata, clothing. He stole the clothes of the gopis and the butter of the elderly gopis. And those, Aneka Janmarjita Papa Choram. Now that's the alokic level. The gopis, butter, and saris. Now the alokic level. What about us? So even the great acharyas, they're transiting. The great acharyas, Bilva Mangala Thakur, in their ashtakams, in their tattva siddhanta, they're transiting between alokik vichar and lokik vichar, alokik lila and lokik lila, transcendental consideration and pastimes and local ideas. So he's talking about Krishna, the eternal pastimes of Bhagavan, stealing butter and yogurt. Now he's talking about conditioned souls, nityabhata jivas. You and I, we're jivatmas, we're conditioned by birth and death, old age, disease. Janma karma chame divyam. I mean, birth, death, old age, and disease. So what does he say? And that same Krishna who steals butter and saris, he also, for those who take shelter of him, he steals the sins. He steals papchor. He's papchoram. And his nitya parishas, his premi bhaktas, he steals their love and exchanges love by through the medium of stealing some butter or stealing a sari. But for us, we are not parishads. We are conditioned souls, jivatmas. He comes into our heart and he steals our sins. He takes away our lust, anger, greed, envy, illusion. That's one shloka that we've accrued for many lifetimes. Then, Shirarikaya Ridayasya Choram Nav Ambuda Shamala Kanti Choram Padashritanam Chasamasta Choram Choragraganyam Purusham Namami. Sant Bilvamangala says, I offer pranam to that greatest of thieves who steals Srimati Radhika's heart. Ridai Chor. Radhika Ridai Chor. And he steals that dark, beautiful, deep blue luster from the monsoon cloud. Nav Ambuda Shamala. That new, fresh rain cloud. Nav Ambuda Shamala. He steals that blue color. He steals that blue color and paints his body with it. Becomes a Ganasham. Nav Ambuda Sham Sundaram. Then, that's on the transcendental Alokik Vichara level. Then, and he steals the sins and sufferings of those who take shelter of his lotus feet. Pada Ashrita. Pada Ashritanam. Cha Samasta Choram. Pada Ashraya. We take shelter. Guru Pada Ashraya. Krishna Charan Ashraya. Radha Pada Ashraya. We take shelter there. Lotus feet of Sri Guru and Sri Krishna. Radha Krishna. Then Samasta Choram steals everything. Lock, stock, and barrel. Mind, body, words, everything. And then one more. Yadiyanamapi haratyashesham kiri prasaran api paparashin ascharya rupo nanochora idrig drishta shutova namaya kadapi. Merely by chanting his name, if we simply chant Krishna's name, yadiyanamapi haratyashesham nam harat. The Namhar, the name is a thief. Sant Bilvamangala says, merely uttering or speaking his name, Sham, Krishna, Govinda, Damodar Madhav, it purges and destroys and annihilates a mountain of sins. Giri, Giri means mountain. Giri Prasaran, Paparashin. Ascharya Rupo Nano Chora Idrig. Bilvamangala says, I have never seen Ascharya Rupam. I have never seen in all my lives and all my travels throughout India, I've never seen a more astounding and astonishing form. Ascharya Rupa Bhagavan Chor Bhagavan Sri Krishna. Such an astounding form I've never seen or heard in any direction. This is my Chor Bhagavan Tera Bhagavan Sri Krishna. So here, Bilvamangala Thakur is saying that the mantra, Krishna mantra, is a Manohar mantra. The Maha mantra, the Maha mantra, the Radha Krishna Yuga, Radha Krishna Yuga Maha mantra, is a Chor mantra. The Radha Krishna Yuga mantra is a mind stealing mantra. It's a Manohar mantra. This is confirmed by Bilvamangala Thakur, because the Maha mantra comes, it's Krishna's flute, it's Radha and Krishna. Where Krishna is there, Radha is there. Where Radha and Krishna are there, that's rasa dance, and the flute must be there. As we establish Jagokalam, the flute is Krishna's constant companion, as is Radha and Krishna. So when we chant the Radha Krishna Yuga Maha Mantra, what is the Radha Krishna Yuga Maha Mantra? Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Mind-stealing mantra. We say Maha Mantra. We say Jagokalam Vamadrisham Manohara Manhara Mantra. Mantra Man Iti Trayate. Mantra Man Iti Trayate. In Puran it says the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, which is called the Radha Krishna Yuga Maha Mantra, that great mantra to worship Radha and Krishna Yuga. Radha Krishna Yuga Maha Mantra. Ascharya Mantra. Ascharya. Adbhut Mantra. Ascharya Mantra. Chamatkar Mantra. Astonishing. Amazing. Wonderful. because it steals the mind. The Radha Krishna Yuga Maha Mantra is a mind-stealing mantra. Steals the mind once and for all. We chant the Maha Mantra, goes in our ears, and brings the calm Gayatri, the calm Bija, awakens desires to love and serve Krishna eternally, in the most intimate, astonishing way, and awakens detachment, and it steals our mind away from anything material, and it purifies our mind and heart of all greed, anger, and lust, and envy. This is the Manohar Mantra. The Radha Krishna Yuga Maha Mantra, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, is the Manohar Mantra that Jagokulam Krishna has brought into this world. Jagokulam Krishna has brought the Manohar Mantra into this world in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Patita Pavan Avatar, Kali Yuga Yuga Dharma Nam Sankirtan. Kali Yuga Dharma Nam Sankirtan, Krishna Nam Sankirtan. Kali Yuga Dharma, the Dharma for Kali Yuga is Krishna Nam Sankirtan. This was introduced 500 years ago to the world. And everyone is having their mind satisfied, pleased, and filled with spiritual desires by chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, this Manohar Mantra. Mind stealing. Mantra. Man, mind. Mantra, man iti trayate. That mantra, man iti trayate, which steals, trayate, steals, frees, liberates, elevates, purifies, and enlightens the mind. That is mantra, Maha Mantra, the mind stealing Manohar Mantra, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So with this point, we'll close today's class. Everyone, take up this Manohar mind-stealing mantra. Be delivered from birth and death. Be delivered from the pains and pinchings and of material cravings and lust and anger. Become peaceful, pure, happy, and joyful forever, dancing in the Rasa Lila, eternal loving service, and a celebration of love with Krishna and gopis and all the Brijvasis. Jai, Jai, Sri Radhe.